Blog Talk Radio.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and I'm having audio problems. You know, you gotta love Blog Talk Radio, folks. First, it cuts me off 3 minutes before the show, but I don't want to rant on Blog Talk Radio, which I'm losing my patience for. But anyways, welcome, folks, to the 513th edition of SDG. And the title of today's message is 2021 Crisis Update Number 26. Now, I know we all want to know the truth about what's really going on here in this crazy, crazy world. So whoever you may be, I welcome you to this edition of SDG, and I hope you stay with us to explore the truth as never told by the fake news. Then later in this message, we're going to tie it all into some of the requirements we have for what's known as Christian citizenship. Now, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 through 7, that this world is not our home. So let's not get all cozy here and indulge our egos at the expense of our souls. Amen? So I want to encourage you all to strive to live good lives in your neighborhoods and amongst your friends and family so that our lives will refute their unbelieving bias against us and all Christians. You know, truth seekers, people who hunger and thirst after righteousness. And then perhaps they'll be won over to God and join us in the celebration as Jesus returns. So I encourage you all to strive to make the Lord proud of you by being good citizens. So stay tuned to learn how to do God's will by doing good. And in that process, cure the ignorance of those fools who think Christians are the danger to society. But the bottom line, folks, is that as believers, we may be in this world, but we're not of this world. And as God's people, we're just passing through. So let me ask you a question. Are we born to be wild? Are we born to be free? Well, no. These are simply lines from some pop songs, but the Bible tells us that we are born to victory. Amen? We're born to win, so I'm asking y'all to refuse to be destroyed by this Luciferian all-out lie and war on humanity. And stay tuned to find out about the latest news. The fake news will never tell you as we dive deeper and deeper into America's 9/11 events that are unfolding in slow motion while on steroids. But folks, remember, it all started with that lab-engineered, media-manipulated coronavirus heist. And what I'd like to do before we get into the news is just remember a few things from a past episode. Now, before I get into the thick of this show, I want to remind you that we talked about a man named Dr. Peter McCullough. He's a board-certified cardiologist, a very reputable mainstream physician, and quite a while back, I played five clips from an interview, and I'd just like to play the intro to Dr. Peter McCullough before we get into the news.
Okay, folks.
have an interview here with Dr. Peter McCullough, who practices internal medicine and is a board-certified cardiologist at Texas A&M. Now, Dr. Peter McCullough is going to talk about the jabs. And this is a man who is a mainstream physician who has seen the light. So with no further ado, Dr. Peter McCullough.
I'm Dr. Peter McCullough, and I'm an internist and cardiologist, an academic physician, professor of medicine at Texas A&M College of Medicine on the Baylor Dallas campus. I think this whole pandemic from the beginning was about the vaccine. So I think all roads lead to the vaccine and what it means. There are already places in Southeast Asia and Europe, they're laying the groundwork for a compulsory vaccination. I mean compulsory. That means somebody pins you down to the ground and puts a needle in you. That's how bad stakeholders want vaccination. Listen, that's not of cost. You don't have to pay for it. It's all provided. There are people or stakeholders, they do want a needle in every arm. This needle in every arm is a very important moniker. Why? Why do you want a needle in an arm? Let's take COVID recovered. Can't get the virus. Can't receive it. It has nothing to do. Why would they ever want a needle in the arm of a COVID recovered patient? Why? Three studies show higher safety events. See, the tension that Americans are feeling right now as they're trying to keep their jobs and go to work is they know they can die of the vaccine. That's the problem. If the vaccine was like water and you just got it, no side effects, who wouldn't take it? Say, hey, I'll comply. They got my Social Security number anyway in a database. I'm already marked. I'll just get marked. But no, there's something very unique about this vaccine. It's something about injecting something into a body that is so important to stakeholders that it doesn't matter. Kids 12 years old told they can make their own decision on this, and it could be their fatal decision. Think about that. North Carolina just passed that. Oh, kids 12 years old can decide on their own. There are over 4,000 dead Americans. There's over 10,000 dead people in Europe that die on days 1, 2, and 3 after the vaccine. Why are we pushing this in a way where people's jobs and their education and their livelihood decide on a decision that's potentially fatal? The tension, you can cut it with a knife. There are parents that say, listen, I want my kid to go to college this year, but I don't want to lose him to the vaccine. They know what's going on. The internet is full of these cases, blood clots, strokes, immediate death. Now, I'm fortunate. I have not directly lost a patient to the vaccine. I told you, most got vaccinated in December, January, February. Based on the safety data now, I can no longer recommend it. I can't recommend it. It's passed all the thresholds to being a safe product. It's not a safe product. None of them are. It's not just Johnson & Johnson. In fact, more of the safety events in the United States have occurred with Moderna and Pfizer. There are now papers written by prominent scientists calling for a worldwide halt in the program. There are prominent virologists, many of them, including Nobel Prize winners, who have said, listen, if we vaccinate people and we create a very narrow, incomplete library of immunity, which is what the vaccine is, the vaccines are all targeted to the original Wuhan spike protein, which is long gone. That's extinct. Patients are getting vaccinated to something that doesn't even exist anymore. That Wuhan spike protein is gone. We're hoping the immunity covers the other variants. But that narrow immunity is a setup. It's just like giving everybody a narrow spectrum antibiotic. If you did that, what would happen? We'd grow up superbugs. There are warnings out there saying don't do this. Don't vaccinate the entire world. All we're going to do is set ourselves up for a superbug that's going to really wipe out populations. So for many reasons, the vaccine, indiscriminate vaccination, is a horrendous idea. It's a horrendous bioweapon that's been thrust onto the public. And it's going to cause great personal harm, which it already has. Thousands of people have lost their lives. I've never lost a direct patient, but I've had my patients lose their family members, lots of them. I've filled out a safety report on a patient who developed blood clots after one of the Pfizer Moderna vaccine. And I'm telling you, it took half an hour to do it. There was many pages, and each page said, warning, federal offense, punishable by severe fines and penalties if I falsified a report. All those thousands of Americans that have died with the vaccine and hospitalizations in the database, I think, are real. And they are far beyond anything we've ever seen. And as a doctor and as a public citizen, I am extraordinarily concerned about the vaccine. The vaccine center right down the street here is empty. I drive past it every day. Americans know. They're talking to each other. The vaccine's not safe. And now the effort is the vaccine stakeholders want kids without parental guidance, and now they want to be in the church. Americans and people worldwide should be extraordinarily alarmed.
Amen. That's a mouthful. Now, I discovered this interview he did with Rainer Fulmeck, I think his name is, an attorney from Germany. And he just continues now. So that interview I played was back from April. Now listen to this update. It was just done on June 11th with Rainer Fulmeck. This is Dr. Peter McCullough. It's a rather long clip, but I think it's very much worth listening to. It's 7 minutes long, so bear with me here, folks.
Just this morning, or I've seen you in many interviews. One of them was on Fox Television with... I think the last one was when you shocked the host, Tucker Carlson. What is your take on this entire situation? We know that a lot of doctors have sort of changed their mind over time because they began to understand that there's a lot of evidence that points in the direction that there really is no actual pandemic. But there is something else going on. What do you think of what's going on?
Well, my quick analysis is I believe that we're under the application of a form of bioterrorism that's worldwide that appears to have been many years in the planning. And the first wave of the bioterrorism is a respiratory virus that spread across the world and affected relatively few people, about 1% of many populations, but generated great fear. The virus was responsible for some deaths in the very frail and elderly, but in you know, otherwise well people, it was like having the common cold. But that fear was used very quickly and I think surprisingly to generate tremendous influences in human life, at lockdowns, all the things you know about. And every single thing that was done in the public health response to the pandemic made it worse. So over-testing and even lockdowns probably made it worse because the virus evolved over time to become more contagious. And so every single response made it worse. How I got involved is as a doctor, I thought the virus was going to be pretty easy to treat once we understood there were three phases, the viral replication, cytokine storm, and thrombosis. And so as I promulgated early treatment, I started to meet resistance at all levels in terms of actually treating patients and then publishing papers. And so I'm the editor of two major journals. I'm in the business of publishing. So fortunately, I had enough publication strength to publish basically the only two papers in the entire medical literature that teaches doctors how to treat COVID-19 at home to prevent hospitalization and death. And we did the best we could without any funding or government support, and we demonstrated that it results in about an 85% reduction in hospitalization and death. So what we had discovered is that the suppression of early treatment was tightly linked to the development of a vaccine. And the entire program, as this, in a sense, bioterrorism phase one was rolled out, was really all about keeping the population in fear and in isolation and preparing them to accept the vaccine, which appears to be phase two of a bioterrorism operation. Both the respiratory virus and the vaccine deliver to the human body the spike protein, the gain-of-function target of this bioterrorism research. Now, I can't come out and say all that on national TV today or any time, but what we had learned over time is that we could no longer communicate with government agencies. We actually couldn't even communicate with our propagandized colleagues and major medical centers, all of which appear to be under a spell, almost as if they're hypnotized right now. And doctors, good doctors, are doing unthinkable things like injecting biologically active messenger RNA that produces this pathogenic spike protein into pregnant women. I think when the doctors wake up from their trance, they're going to be shocked to think what they've done to people. And so our strategy was to organize. There are many groups. One group in the United States called C19 that I organized. Many of you get these emails. It's about 1,000 people. Another one's called FLCCC, Frontline Critical Care Consortium. Another worldwide one is called PANDA. You may be involved in that. There's also HEART and BIRD and COVID Medical Network, Treatment Domiciliari in Italy. It's gotten to the point where people have rallied in the UK and in Germany to rally for early treatment. Governments have actually tried to block even any single milligram of treatment to individuals. And so we decided by the summer we had to take our message to the people. We had one physician association that worked with us called the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. We created a home patient guide. We organized the United States into 4 national telemedicine services, 15 regional services. We broke through to the people, and the people who got sick with COVID-19 called in, got medications prescribed to local pharmacies or to mail order distribution pharmacies. And so without the government really even understanding what was going on, we crushed the epidemic curve in the United States towards the end of December and January. We basically took care of the pandemic with about 500 doctors and telemedicine services. And to this day, we treat about 25% of the U.S. COVID-19 population that actually are at high risk over age 50 with medical problems or present with severe symptoms. And we've basically handled the pandemic. And at the same time, we've tried to keep ourselves above the political fray. And we understand the suppression of early treatment is tightly linked to vaccination. And then we've let all the news on vaccination come out and are working to change the public view of the vaccine. The public initially accepted the vaccine, and we had to kind of slowly turn the ship. And now in the United States, rates of vaccination have been dropping since April 8th. They continue to drop every day. The vaccine centers that I go by are completely empty. And in the United States, they're becoming desperate to try to convince individuals to get a vaccine. They're offering $1 million lotteries. All the universities who are trying to force vaccination are receiving resistance. I'm the lead expert in the bellwether Houston Methodist case, which is currently being argued before a judge in Texas. It's going to be quickly escalated to the Supreme Court of Texas, where Houston Methodist Hospital, a leading hospital, is attempting to force the employees to receive the vaccine. And we already have word that it's going to be escalated to the Supreme Court case. It'll be a very high visibility case. So we have a lot of activity going on in the United States. We are engaging more and more attorneys. It's great to have you and your team involved, on the international level. And I imagine we're aligned on almost all the things I said.
They are aligned, folks. And it's exciting to hear this sort of thing. This is a mainstream doctor. Did you hear what he said? Did you hear his language? He referred to this entire vaccine program as bioterrorism. In fact, the entire scandemic as bioterrorism. That's what I've been saying for a year and a half now, folks. Now, I know that sounds harsh, but it's all true. So stay tuned to this episode, and I'm going to give you even more proof from Dr. David Martin and others that this is a grand conspiracy to reset the world's economy and enslave the people of this world and to destroy we the people of this great nation, the United States of America. But now it's time to move on to our Freaky Deaky News Update. And as always, let's get started with our coronavirus heist.
The coronavirus, COVID-19, watch all this, pandemic, the coronavirus heist, it's a scandemic, they call it the great equalizer, and say we're all in this together, except for the bankers, politicians, and powers to be, and folks, that ain't either you or me, so let's all wake up to the coronavirus heist, and just say they know that all their lies are mind control. The coronavirus, COVID-19, watch all this, pandemic,
It is the plamdemic, folks, and I apologize if my timing's off a little bit today, but I am having all sorts of problems with Blog Talk Radio. It's very frustrating. I continue to email their engineering staff, and I don't know what it is. They do some sort of upgrade on Saturday morning very early, and I get the aftermath of their upgrades. But nonetheless, let me ask you a question. Do you believe in conspiracies? Well, get this. There have been three countries on this entire earth where their leaders have declined the vaccination program. And an ugly truth that's staring all of us in the face that we need to talk about, but nobody does, is that all three of these countries, their presidents who refused to accept the COVID-19 vaccine program for their people from the World Health Organization, this is the nation of Burundi, Tanzania, and now Haiti, all three presidents who declined these vaccinations are dead. President Pierre Nkurunziza from Burundi. In Tanzania, remember it was John Magufuli, we talked about him. And then just this past week in Haiti, President Jovenel Moïse, and there's all kinds of craziness down there, and it may even be bigger than just the rejection of the vaccine. You know, he's been claiming that the Clintons have basically raped and pillaged his nation. Well, he's dead now too. Coincidence? What are the odds that these three men, leaders of three very small countries who rejected this program, would all end up dead, all dying in office? What one thing did they all have in common? They refused to accept the vaccine for the people of their nation, like murder, you know, people who are awake, people taking the red pill. And this one in Haiti, it's straight up murder, as we'll see a little bit later. This man, this President Moïse, was assassinated by men with guns. And what's behind all this? Well, I'll tell you what's behind it. Genocide, bioterrorism, like Dr. McCullough said. This is a massive depopulation effort. We've talked about how it's been predictively programmed in shows like Utopia, and it's been talked about for eons. The Georgia Guidestones suggest that 14 out of 15 people ought to die. Now, a lot of people have speculated that the entire COVID-19 scamdemic is staged and a deadly attack on humanity itself. And I'm one of those folks. You know that if you've been listening to this show. Now, there are people on this planet, this Earth, let's call it Earth, not a planet, let's call it Earth, who believe that humanity itself is like a virus against the planet. Remember we talked about that? And who was it? Prince Richard or Prince Charles? One of them said if he could die and be reincarnated, he wanted to be reincarnated as a virus so he could wipe out humanity. So these sickos, these Luciferians, these sociopaths believe that humanity is destroying the planet. So they say humanity has to be destroyed. Now, they're in great positions of power and wealth and influence. And when you stop and look at this so-called COVID-19 vaccine as a plan to depopulate humanity first through death of actual recipients and then by sterilization of the ones who don't die, and think about it, this novel coronavirus, which we'll see today isn't even novel and has a 99.6% survival rate, this quote-unquote vaccine isn't even a vaccine by the classical definition, which they had to change because it doesn't use an active or dead virus. Instead, it uses mRNA technology, something that's never been used on humans before and actually was developed for dogs and rabbits. And they just pulled this thing off the shelf in literally months through Operation Warp Speed. Well, folks, if you believe that, I have some swampland for sale for you. Now, VAERS, and we've talked about VAERS, it's reporting close to a 10,000 dead already and hundreds of thousands severely injured, yet this program is continuing to be pushed. It's permanently disabling people. It's destroying their lives. Now, what I'm saying, Luciferians behind this, and their vaccine to call humanity? It's all true. Do you really believe that the sociopaths who are perpetuating these war crimes occurring according to Nuremberg and the definition of a war crime, you think they'd hesitate to hurt you or me if they'll murder three presidents? Do you really think that? Now, couple that report that three presidents are dead with this latest from InfoWars, and it's about the COVID strike force, as it's being called. This is a very good piece. So I'm looking for the clip right now. Yeah, COVID strike force will backfire. This was recently put out by the Brown Report on InfoWars. It's about 5 minutes long, and it's packed full of information.
And those who are not fully vaccinated are not protected. So every individual that we vaccinate is a step forward. And across the summer months, we'll vaccinate millions more individuals. As the president said, we will do this by going community by community, neighborhood by neighborhood, person by person, by partnering with local leaders, governors, mayors, doctors, school administrators, employers, faith leaders, and community organizers. Leaders that people know and trust.
At this point, the coronavirus vaccine should be seen for the tool that it is, a global governance eugenics weapon foisted upon the masses by the United Nations social engineers, who are determined to test the limits of their own power as their tentacles penetrate the federal, state, and local governments of the United States.
Vaccine nationalism hurts us all and is self-defeating. But on the flip side, vaccinating equitably saves lives, stabilizes health systems, and would lead to a truly global economic recovery that stimulates job creation.
Now, we can't force you to take a jab in the arm, but there are many jobs, perhaps, that can prevent you from working if you decide not to get vaccinated.
Dr. Renner, given where things are going, is it time to move on from saying please to mandating?
I do think it's time to start mandating vaccines.
Now we need to go to community by community, neighborhood by neighborhood, and oftentimes door to door, literally knocking on doors to get help to the remaining people protected from the virus.
And now Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, professor of medicine at Stanford, these studies coming out of England about children under the age of 18 and COVID. We thought it was rare for children to die from COVID before, but it's pretty much not even a question now. Like 99.995% of those who they know had COVID, and of course there are many more who we haven't tracked, survived COVID. 25 kids under the age of 18 died of COVID. I think it was 19 had serious underlying respiratory and other issues.
Last year in the United States, more children died of the flu than died of COVID.
Obviously, the eugenics overlords weren't pleased that Bumbling Joe hadn't reached his July 4th goal of 70% vaccinated.
We are going to continue to press to get 12 to 18-year-olds vaccinated, to continue to work with communities where there's lower vaccination rates. That's one of the reasons we initiated these strike forces.
Jen Psaki's downplaying of her own description of a vaccine strike force going door to door will be her final undoing.
So these are grassroots voices across the country. They are not members of the government. They are not federal government employees. They are volunteers. They are clergy. They are trusted voices in communities who are playing this role in door knocking.
As the effort ramps up, she will have to contend with the arrogance of Dr. Fauci and the draconian incompetence of United States Secretary of Health and Human Services, Xavier Becerra.
It's none of the government's business knowing who has or hasn't been vaccinated. What do you say?
It is absolutely the government's business. It is taxpayers' business if we have to continue to spend money to try to keep people from contracting COVID and helping reopen the economy. And so it is our business to try to make sure Americans can prosper, Americans can freely associate. And knocking on a door has never been against the law. You don't have to answer, but we hope you do, because if you haven't been vaccinated, we can help dispel some of those rumors that you've heard and hopefully get you vaccinated.
Becerra's 24 years of overseeing the Los Angeles Democratic petri dish of Skid Row and then failing upwards as California's Attorney General ensures that he will be a totalitarian Health and Human Services Secretary that will ignore fundamental constitutional rights, all in the name of the progressive agenda that is merely global governance in disguise. It's blatantly obvious. The power mad are recklessly running with the totalitarian opportunity to please their global masters, no matter what it takes.
Speaking for myself, it was a tremendous personal benefit.
It's like Dylan said, Bob Dylan, are birds free from the chains of the skyway? No, of course not. We are subject to the natural laws. But the laws of man should not be used to subjugate human beings. We are free.
John Baum reporting.
So, just like Mr. Brown said, by this point, this jab, this coronavirus jab, as the mainstream talking heads are even calling it now, ought to be seen for the genocide tool that it actually is. You know, it's nothing more than a global governance eugenics weapon, and it's been foisted upon the masses by the powers that be, the Luciferians, the UN social engineers. They are determined to test the limits of how far they can push their usurped power. And remember, this is all being funded by the likes of George Soros, Billy Goat Gates, and their overreach and their corruption traced to every level of government, federal, state, local. And we're seeing it not just with this and all the draconian measures being taken, but how about the total destruction of our electoral process? Like I said last week, folks, the Biden regime only does what it's told to do. Now, the eugenics overlords, that's another question. Soros and Gates, they're not real happy right now because the U.S. hasn't reached its goal of 70% vaccinated by July 4th. In fact, the numbers are actually a little lower than they're reporting. And I remember I played those clips with Jen Psaki downplaying the door-to-door vaccination program by Biden and then the incompetence by Xavier Becerra. Look up his background, folks. Remember what he said? He's willing to ignore fundamental constitutional rights in the name of progressive agendas like global governance, protecting the people. You know, folks, if you ever try to find a little safety and security at the expense of your liberty, soon you'll have neither. Folks, it's as plain as day right now. These Luciferian overlords, they're mad, power-mad tyrants. And this includes Democrats and Republicans alike. It really does. They're totalitarians on a suicide mission right now to please their globalistic masters, no matter what it takes. Now, let me say that again. Or ask that question again that I opened this message with. Do you still believe in coincidence? It's a view of history. Think about it. Now, if you still don't believe that this is more than a coincidence, I want to play a few clips from Dr. David Martin. And this is a bombshell that he shared in a recent interview with German attorney Rainer Fulmeck. Now, I've found both of these clips from Fulmeck. The one on Dr. McCullough, and then these clips lay on Dr. Martin from this website. It's a blog space, and I'm looking for the name of it right now. Please bear with me here. It's called Agora, and they have a publishing arm, and I am very impressed. Nope, but yeah, it is. Agora.com. So they have the blog and they also have Agora Publishing. I encourage you to go out there for anything and just about everything COVID related. It's a very good compiler. Now, they're not producing all of this content. What they're doing is compiling the content, and it's very powerful. So what I'd like to do is play this clip from an interview that Dr. David Martin did with attorney Rainer Fulmeck, and he talks about the new normal and where it came from. Now, if this doesn't tell you that this is more than coincidence, I don't know what will. But listen to this clip where Dr. Martin talks about the origin of the term, the new normal, which we've all heard, haven't we? Listen to Dr. Martin.
Who wrote the script?
Murph. There's a conference called SARS and Bioterrorism.
Uh-huh.
Bioterror is an emerging infectious diseases, antimicrobials, therapeutics, and immune modulators. Merck introduced the notion of what they called the new normal. Proper noun, the new normal, which is the language that became the branded campaign that was adopted by the World Health Organization, the Global Preparedness Monitoring Board, which was the board upon which the Chinese director of Center for Disease Control, Bill Gates's Dr. Elias of the Gates Foundation, and Anthony Fauci sat together on that board of directors. But the first introduction of the New Normal campaign, which was about getting people to accept a universal pan-influenza, pan-coronavirus vaccine, was actually adopted January 6, 2004. So it's been around quite a long time. I'm not going to belabor many more points other than to say that it was very clear that Merck knew that, that Moderna knew that it was going to be placed in the front of the line with respect to the development of a vaccine in March of 2019, and this is a very important date, because in March of 2019, for reasons that are not transparent, they suddenly amended a series of rejected patent filings, which is a very bizarre behavior, but they amended a number of patent filings to specifically make reference to an intentional or accidental release, their term, deliberate release of coronavirus. So in March, they amended four failed patent applications to begin the process of a coronavirus vaccine development. And they began dealing with a very significant problem that they had, which was they relied on technology that they did not own. Two Canadian companies, Arbutus Pharmaceuticals and Acuitas Pharmaceuticals, actually own the patent on the lipid nanoparticle envelope that's required to deliver the injection of the mRNA fragment. And those patents have been issued both in Canada and in the U.S. and then around the world in their world intellectual property equivalents. Moderna knew that they did not own the rights and began trying to negotiate with Arbutus and Acuitas to get the resolution of the lipid nanoparticle patented technology available to be put into a vaccine. And we know, as I made reference to before, that in November, they entered into a research and cooperative research and development agreement with UNC Chapel Hill with respect to getting the spike protein to put inside of the lipid nanoparticle so that they actually had a candidate vaccine before we had a pathogen, allegedly, that was running around. What makes that story most problematic, beyond the self-evident nature of it, is that we know that from 2016 until 2019, at every one of the NIAID Advisory Council board meetings, Anthony Fauci lamented the fact that he could not find a way to get people to accept the universal influenza vaccine, which is what was his favorite target. He was trying to get the population to engage in this process. And what becomes very evident with Peter Daszak, EcoHealth Alliance, UNC Chapel Hill, and others, and then most specifically by March of 2019, in the amended patent filings of Moderna, we see that there is a epiphany that says, what if there was an accidental or an intentional release of a respiratory pathogen? And what makes that particular phrase problematic is it is exactly recited in the book A World at Risk, which is the scenario that was put together by the World Health Organization in September of 2019. So months before there's an alleged pathogen, which says that we need to have a coordinated global experience of a respiratory pathogen release, which by September 2020 must put in place a universal capacity for public relations management, crowd control, and the acceptance of a universal vaccine mandate. That was September of 2019. And the language of an intentional release of a respiratory pathogen was written into the scenario that, quote, must be completed by September 2020.
Oh, excuse me, folks. My mic was off. So that book, if you want to call it a book, A World at Risk, I was just looking through it while he was speaking there. And this book, A World at Risk, Annual Report on Global Preparedness for Health Emergencies, Global Preparedness Monitoring Board, September 2019. Folks, if you look through this book, it was by the World Health Organization. I'm checking it out here. Director, yes, it's World Health Organization publication. It's the game plan for everything they did in 2020 and continue to do now with this push for vaccinations. So you still believe in coincidences? Folks, this virus isn't new and it isn't novel. And no, they didn't make a new vaccine at warp speed by putting all the most brilliant minds in the country together and pull this thing off in less than a year. Folks, there's over 70 patents filed on this particular technology, and it goes back 20-plus years. So in this next clip that's 3 minutes, 56 seconds long, I'd like to hear Dr. David explain to Reiner Fulmeck these patents. I think he mentioned 73 patents. Listen to this.
They targeted what was called the polybasic cleavage site for SARS-CoV, the novel spike protein and the ACE2 receptor binding domain, which is allegedly novel to SARS-CoV-2. And all of that was patented on the 5th of June, 2008. And those patents in sequence were issued between November 24th of 2015, which was U.S. patent 919-3780. So that one came out after the gain-of-function moratorium. That one came after the MERS outbreak in the Middle East. But what you find is that then in 2016, 2017, 2019, a series of patents all covering not only the RNA strands, but also the subcomponents of the gene strands were all issued to Ablinks and Sanofi. And then we have Crucell, we have Rubius Therapeutics, we have Children's Medical Corporation, we have countless others that include Ludwig Maximilian's Universität in München, Protein Science Corporation, Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, University of Iowa, University of Hong Kong, Chinese National Human Genome Center in Shanghai, all identifying in patent filings that ranged from 2008 until 2017 every attribute that was allegedly uniquely published by the single reference publication, the novel bat coronavirus reveals, quote, natural insertions at the S1, S2, 2 cleavage site of the spike protein and possible recombinant 3 origin of the SARS-CoV-2 virus. The paper that has been routinely used to identify the novel virus, unfortunately, if you actually take what they report to be novel, you find 73 patents issued between 2008 and 2019, which have the elements that were allegedly novel in the SARS-CoV-2, specifically as it relates to the polybasic cleavage site, the ACE2 receptor binding domain, and the spike protein. So the clinically novel components of the clinically unique, clinically contagious, you know where I'm going with this, okay? There was no outbreak of SARS because we had engineered all of the elements of that. And by 2016, the paper that was funded during the gain-of-function moratorium that said that the SARS coronavirus was poised for human emergence, written by none other than Ralph Baric, was not only poised for human emergence, but it was patented for commercial exploitation 73 times.
There you have it, folks. And I'm telling you, you can't make this stuff up. So this virus wasn't new. It's not novel, folks. And they didn't make this vaccine. They had it on the shelf. June 5th, 2008, the foundation patent for all of this garbage. And then beginning April 15 through 17, 20, more and more patents were being filed to build this entire network of death and destruction. Now, you have to ask yourself, why? And don't even get me going on Dr. Ralph Baric. There's some time in terms of how much money you can make for this technology. What can I say? It's all been planned. And, folks, did you ever hear of Dr. Peter Drazak? He's head of the Eco-Fascist Alliance, I mean, Eco-Health Alliance. Did you ever hear some of the stuff he came up with? Folks, he knew all about the gain-of-function experiments that were being carried out in the Wuhan lab. Why? Because he financed and supervised with federal government funds. It's no accident. Peter Drazak, over on a site that somebody set up called peterdrazak.com. So it's Peter and then DASZAK.com. But I'd like to play one more clip where Dr. Martin quotes Dr. Drazak, and it's his favorite quote from this entire scam deck. And Drazak came out with this years before. Listen to this. It's a short minute and a half clip. It'll blow your mind.
So for those who want to live in the illusion that somehow or another that's the end of the story, be prepared for a greater disappointment, because somebody knew something in 2015 and 2016, which gave rise to my favorite quote of this entire pandemic. And by that, I'm not being cute. My favorite quote of this pandemic was a statement made in 2015 by Peter Daszak. Mm-hmm. The statement that was made by Peter Daszak in 2015, reported in the National Academies of Press publication February 12, 2016, and I'm quoting, "We need to increase public understanding of the need for medical countermeasures such as a pan-coronavirus vaccine. A key driver is the media, and the economics will follow the hype. We need to use that hype to our advantage to get to the real issues. Investors will respond if they see profit at the end of the process." End quote.
There you have it. 2015, this man, this demoniac, was pushing a pan-corona vaccine, and he said to make it happen, we have to get the media behind it and the economic flow. Did you hear that, folks? So do you still believe in coincidence? Well, so not much I can do for any of you. I've put information out there. I encourage you to share it with your friends and family. And I have an offer, a standing offer. If you believe this is all just conspiracy theory, if you believe that none of this is true and it's just coming from QAnon, I have an offer there. If you can debunk anything I have, anything I've presented on here with regard to the conspiratorial nature of this entire scamdemic, proof, and it's not just from some facts check. Organization, like Snopes or whatever. But if you can really on others, I've made that challenge to some of
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Been taken off the air. I've been taken off the air. This is so frustrating. So frustrating. So, folks, here's the situation. I don't know if I'm on the air. I really don't. And I can continue. I just went on my cell phone. Don't know if it's working or not. It always happens like this, folks. I'm in the middle of something very important, and the call's dropped. But I'm going to continue as if I'm on. In fact, I see a couple callers. I'm just going to ask you if you can hear me. I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm going to try it. So I'm going to bring a 408 area code on and just see if you can hear me. Hey, this is Ken. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm still on the air. Yeah, you're good.
Okay,
you're
thanks,
good.
Guy. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're good.
Okay, so we're on the air here, folks, and I'm having some real issues, but we're going to keep moving on. So I'm giving you all the proof I can give you here, and if you still don't believe it, then there's not much I can do for you. Now, we're starting to see the lines between the coronavirus heist and, as I call it, Kabuki Theater merge, and now I don't even have my clips. This is crazy. This is absolutely crazy. So I don't have my clips. I can't play any of my clips, and there's... Thank you, Blog Talk Radio, for such great customer service. So we're going to continue, even though I don't have clips. Can't play anything, folks. Well, there was some real important information I wanted to share with all of you, but I guess it's not going to happen. So we're in the Kabuki Theater update right now, and I mentioned to you the assassination of the Haitian president. We know about his death. It wasn't a coincidence. U.S.-trained Colombian hit squads were used for that assassination. Like I said, folks, these people have deep pockets, and they have very well-planned efforts at play here. So this was a Colombian assassin team trained by the U.S., and these people came in, and they wiped this man out, because he was opposing the vaccination programs being instituted by the World Health Organization. Right about now, you'd probably hear Gomer say, surprise, surprise, surprise. But folks, I'm telling you, nothing surprises me anymore. Nothing. But folks, I need to move on, and it's time for our newest segment. It's called Coop Talk with Henrietta, and she's here, but you're not going to hear her. Now, what I'd like to talk to you about today is managing your woodlot, whether you own 5 acres or 500 or more. There's all sorts of things you need to do to manage that woodlot. You have to take out deadfall. You have to keep your trails open. You have to cut vines because they do wipe out good hardwood. You have to cut your undergrowth. You have to do some selective cutting and even selective logging. And those woodlots have a tremendous amount of value. And they can be selectively cut over cycles. And you can harvest as much as $3,000 to $5,000 worth of timber per acre. And if you have veneer-grade wood, put another zero on the end of that. You can have $30,000, $50,000 for an acre of veneer-grade or some of the other select hardwoods. So if you have acreage, one thing I'm going to encourage you to do is manage your woodlot. Take care of it because it could be money in the bank for you. But now it's time to move on to our latest episode, and that's the Hopium Report. And folks, it's all about the election fraud. We know it's true, but we even have Fox News' Tucker Carlson out there now revealing bombshell findings in Fulton County. Now, I had a clip I wanted to play here, but of course I can't because the soundboard's dead. But Tucker Carlson goes on and gives all the information that you and I have probably known for the past 6 months. And honestly, folks, I don't think anything's going to change. Now we're moving on to the Obsidian Report, and I have an Obsidian warning before this, but there was a London library that apologizes for its rainbow, excuse me, but here's the obscenity warning. They hired a rainbow dildo butt monkey. And if that's not absurd, I don't know what is. So the London Public Library, which is part of the Red Bridge Library Group, was actually their Good Maze Library in East London, hired a man dressed as an obscene monkey. So he was out there on the street thrusting this dildo he attached to this front with a bare ass twerking as vehicles went by. And some of the drivers actually videotaped it and went viral. This sick performer is a member of this group known as the Mandinga Arts Group. Now, what's this all about? Well, folks, it's about grooming our children to accept deviant behavior and actually celebrate it. Now, you know, this reminds me of a passage out of a book by C.S. Lewis, his third one in the Space Trilogy, That Hideous Strength. And it was a scene from the desensitization exercise that Dr. Frost was putting Mark Suttock, the main character, through in what was known as the Objective Room at the NICE facility at Belbury. And it's from the book That Hideous Strength by C.S. Lewis, chapter 14, page 104. So I want to read these three short paragraphs to you. And think about it in terms of this crazy news piece I just gave you on this rainbow dildo butt monkey episode at the library in London. So here it starts. And this is Mark Suttock. He understood the whole business now. Frost was not only trying to make him insane, at least not in the sense Mark had hitherto given to the word insanity. To sit in the room was the first step towards what Frost called objectivity, the process whereby all specifically human reactions were killed. So that reaction that you have when you hear a story like what I just gave you, your normal human reactions, Lewis goes on to say, all specifically human reactions were killed in the man so that he might become fit for the fastidious society of the macrobes, higher degrees in the asceticism of life would doubtless follow. The eating of abominable food, the dabbling in dirt and blood, the ritual performances of calculated obscenities. Isn't that what we just saw there, a calculated obscenity? They were playing quite fair with him, offering the same initiation through which they themselves had passed. This is like when the secret societies have you urinate on a crucifix or, denounce God. After an hour, this long, high coffin of a room began to produce on Mark an effect
which his instructor had probably not anticipated. As the desert first teaches man to love water, or as absence first reveals affection, there rose up against this background of the sour and the crooked some kind of vision of the sweet and the straight, something else, something he vaguely called the normal, apparently existed. He had never thought about that before, but there it was, solid, massive, like something you could touch or eat or fall in love with. It was all mixed up with Jane, that's his wife, and fried eggs and soap and sunlight and the rooks cawing at the Cure Hardy, that's where he lived. He was not thinking in moral terms at all, or else what is much the same thing was having his first deeply moral experience. Folks, I'm telling you, fact is stranger than fiction. Now it's time to move on to Ken's Corner, and right now I'd be playing that clip, but of course I don't have it. So I'm going to ask you a question, folks. Do you think you're free? Well, just think about it. We have this oppressive de facto regime in Washington, D.C. right now that holds members of We the People without a trial. Think about all those protesters at the Capitol on January 6th. They're being held in these oppressive conditions without any trial date, without any charges, and we call this the freest country in the world. And then these government officials openly lie in courts. They openly spy on us. You heard what they're going to be doing now. They're going to be screening our text messages and putting disclaimers in there. If you text private messages to your friends and family about the vaccine and about any of the scam that I'm sharing with you, they're going to be checking all of our text messages. So we have an oppressive de facto regime in Washington, D.C. right now. We do. And then let's not even get going on the federal judges, all the way up to SCOTUS, folks. They simply agree and rubber stamp all of this garbage. The Biden regime has invited the UN into the U.S. to deal with racism. The military has been caught transporting illegals to the red states in an effort to change future voting patterns. That's happening right now, this week. Did you hear about the new poll out stating that 66% of Southern Republicans want to secede from the United States? This is the old divide and conquer, the balkanization of a country. That's how they got Yugoslavia to fall apart under the Clinton administration. Now they're trying it here. And how about out in California? Just this week, they're reinstating mask mandates. And did you see the spike they're talking about? It's this imperceptible little blip if you compare any of the outbreaks from 2020. It's within the normal of noise. Plus then good old South Africa. You know, they were the poster child for critical race theory. They reformed their terrible apartheid, and now they're burning and falling apart. And France is pushing out, and the people of France are pushing back against vaccine passports. I'm telling you, folks, Ireland is restless right now. And their government jailed a woman for 3 months because she refused to wear a face diaper. The Australians are taken to the streets again because there's more lockdowns in Australia. And over at Crow House, Monty's talking about that. Folks, go to Rumble and check out Crow House with Monty. You're going to get a lot of good information off that man. Now, while the Arizona audits are wrapping up and proving what the world already knew, and that is the truth that our country was stolen from us in this fraudulent election, folks, these are all just the headlines from the past week. Now, I don't think I'm exaggerating it at all to say the world's burning down around us. I've been saying this for quite some time if you've listened to these shows. This all started in hyperdrive back in 2020 with this lab-engineered, media-manipulated coronavirus heist, as I always say. Now, anyone who has eyes to see and ears to hear can see that this scamdemic's been used as the catalyst for the world takeover by the Luciferians. We're living in the midst of the Great Reset right now. We're not doing much about it at all. How many of you listening right now have checked out your local news and the major news networks like ABC or CBS in the past week? Now, I do, and you may be wondering why. Well, it's because I want to know what the enemy's talking about right now and how they're pushing their agenda. So everything I just shared with you was in the news over the past week. And just last Thursday night on NBC, they continue with their agenda or their predictive programming, and they're pushing a fear. Remember, that's false evidence about reality.
And now they're pushing fear of the Delta variant, which Dr. McCullough and Dr. Martin will tell you is not even real. And they're pushing these face diapers again and even vaccinating children down to the age of 2. Plus, they talked on the news on Thursday night on NBC about the traitor General Milley, how he was afraid that President Trump would pull a coup if he lost the election. No, they're the ones that pulled the coup. The Biden regime and the Chi-Coms did it, not Trump. This is classic Rules for Radicals, folks, right out of Saul Alinsky's book. And as I talk to people about this stuff, even people that have been red-pilled, all I keep hearing is nothing will change. And when I think about it, I have to admit what they're saying is true. So as long as Americans have a roof over their head, food on the table, they're fat and happy, you got their six-pack of beer, I say we're going to continue to accept this tyranny, and we're not going to do anything about it. Now, there's a term out there. It's called death by a thousand slices, and that's what I see happening. So I'm going to ask you this question. When will you stand up and say no more? When will you be ready to fight? Now, I'm not talking necessarily with guns and bullets. Sometimes it comes to that. But when are you going to stand up and start calling your politicians and getting in their face and reminding them that they work for you? Now, as this Arizona audit continues to move on and it's actually wrapping up, we're seeing more light shed on how fraudulent the 2020 election was. That clip I couldn't play of Tucker Carlson was packed full of that. Now, do you think the Biden regime and the other rhino deep state puppets are just going to apologize and step down and welcome Donald Trump back to the White House when all this comes out? Do you really believe the corrupt courts are going to side with truth and we the people? Folks, it's obvious that many people haven't been paying attention to what's going on and how corrupt our systems become, and that's sad. Now, on the other side of the spectrum, I've heard a lot of people full of hopium that are saying the Patriots are going to ultimately win. People like Dave over at the X22 report, a lot of the things you see on the Gateway Pundit, the Marshall Report, and God bless them all, but I just don't know, folks. Those are the people out there that are actually believing that Trump's going to be reinstated once all these audits are finished. But help me out here. Do you really think that's going to happen without a fight? These commies, these neocons, these chi-coms that are in positions of power in Washington, D.C., do you think they're just going to relinquish their usurped power without a fight? Think about this. When Trump had power, he didn't stand up and fight. So do you honestly think he's going to fight now when he doesn't have any power? How much of this is kabuki theater? That's what I'm getting at. Folks, it's time to stop dreaming about these audits. We already know what they're going to show us. So what are we waiting for? This tyranny is going to continue until we, the people, grow a spine. Now, our founding fathers' worst nightmare is upon us right now. They did their best to create a free government with limited powers, and we didn't keep it free, folks. We got fat, happy, lazy, complacent. Now, instead of liberty and justice for all, we have this godless culture and this despotic federal government with no limits to its power. Now, here's an ominous question that each and every one of us capable of rational thought ought to be asking ourselves. What kind of country are we going to leave to our children? What kind of country are we going to leave to our grandchildren? We are the last place on this entire earth where true freedom actually has a chance. If we fall, it's all over, folks. Now, what will you say if you wind the clock ahead 10 years and you're talking with one of your children and your grandchildren, and they ask you, why didn't you stop this tyranny and destruction when you could? What are you going to say to them? Well, folks, I believe it's time for you and me and all of us to pledge our lives and our fortunes and our sacred honor on this nation and preserve the Liberty Tree for the future generations. Now, I had those thoughts all put together this week, and I wanted to share them with you in Ken's Corner, but what I actually ended up doing was just sharing some of the points out of this NC Renegade article titled, Does Anyone Think We Are Free? This tyranny will continue to grow until we the people grow a spine. Folks, that's exactly what I was going to share with you. In fact, the very bizarre truth is
that that almost felt like I wrote it. How strange is that? But now, folks, it's time to move on to Back to the Future. So, again, no soundboard here. So it's time for Back to the Future. And in this segment, we take something old and we bring it back to the future. So let's wind the clock back to 1983. And there was a speech given by Alexander Solzhenitsyn. This was given in 1983, and it was titled Men Have Forgotten God. Now, he's a Nobel laureate. He was an Orthodox Christian author, a Russian dissident, and he had this article, Godlessness, the First Step to the Gulag. And he was giving this speech at his Templeton Prize for Progress in Religion in May of 1983. And in it, he explained how the Russian Revolution and the communist takeover was facilitated by an atheistic philosophy that came upon the people of Russia. Now, this was a long process that took generations, and we're going through it now here. Remember, they took prayer out of the schools in the 60s, and then Bible reading was forbidden, and now they're taking the Ten Commandments down. You know the story. And he explained that this long process alienates the people of a country from God and traditional Christian morality and beliefs. And then he rightly concluded that men have forgotten God. That's why this all happened. So what's filled the void? Something has to fill the void. Well, the void here in America has been filled by Marxism. That's the religion in America today. It's preaching this atheistic belief that man is the new God. And in 2019, the Pew Research Center found that Christianity is rapidly disappearing from the country. In fact, only 65% of Americans identified in this 2019 Pew Research Center survey as Christians. And that's a sudden and rapid decline from the last survey by Pew a few years before that identified 90% of the people interviewed as believers. So a drop of 50% in just a couple years. And that's what led us to these crazy things like Black Lives Matter and Antifa and the sainthood of a drug dealer and a criminal named George Floyd. Now, Dmitry Orlov, and I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he's a Russian who's living in the United States now. And he was in Russia and he witnessed the collapse of the Soviet Union. And I've been reading his material on his blog site called cluborlov.com. So CLUBORLOV.com. And nearly 20 years ago, after returning to the U.S. after the collapse of the Soviet Union, ominous rumblings in the horizon for the U.S. The collapse of the United States seems to be as likely now as the collapse of the Soviet Union seemed in 1985. So how does this all apply to what's going on in the freaky deaky news updates? Well, did you hear about the mural honoring George Floyd in Toledo, Ohio, that was destroyed by a lightning strike? So there was this George Floyd mural in Toledo, and you know how they painted all those things. And boy, don't they look like those Easter Island heads, those depictions of George Floyd, that drug dealer and criminal that's been canonized as a saint? Well, there was a lightning strike on Tuesday afternoon. A witness saw it and reported it to WPVG News, that's ABC 13 in Toledo, Ohio, that around 4:30 on Tuesday afternoon, a lightning strike struck. And this was confirmed on Doppler radar. It directly hit George Floyd's face, and it just reduced that portion of the wall pile of rubble. Now, do you think that's coincidence, folks? Here's George Floyd's shrine. It was made exactly or finished exactly 1 year before. Folks, I believe God sent a bolt down and reduced it to rubble. Remember, it directly hit his face. You should see these pictures. So since Floyd's death last year, activists have built shrines all over the country, statues and murals honoring the life of this criminal and drug abuser. So right now I'll be playing you a clip from the local ABC affiliate. Now, this is a big wow right here, okay? The implications of this event, you just can't understate them. No one can predict lightning strikes. They're very random. And that mural was made from brick that's non-conductive. Even a lightning rod, you know, wouldn't have destroyed that mural.
That's why I say Providence had to be behind this. A direct lightning hit on George Floyd's face utterly destroyed the mural, and I can attribute that to nothing but a supernatural event. God is sending a clear message to America right now. George Floyd isn't resting in peace, and we need to wake up, but we're going to be spending an eternity with him. So if there's no repentance after your soul leaves your body, folks, if you're living and thinking like these people that have idolized George Floyd, God's wrath awaits you. The time you spend in this life is like the single drop in the ocean. If eternity was time, so choose wisely. That's what I'm saying. Now, folks, is when I would transition into the spiritual message here, so you'd hear the spiritual music. And I would say that the truth is that as a Christian, if you are a Christian, you're both a citizen of this world as well as heaven. So I challenged all of you in Ken's Corner to stand up, but there's a right way and a wrong way to stand up. And the Bible gives us commands for our lives while here on earth about how we're to live as citizens here and now. And whatever the media and the revisionist historians may have to say about our nation, even about the Declaration of Independence, our nation, Christian Foundation, just read those founding documents, the Declaration of Independence, the Paris Treaty, the Constitution for the United States of America, read them. And folks, I'm going to make no apology for what I'm about to say. I'm not going to stutter. I'm not going to stammer. There's no fear. There's no reservations. I am a loyal, red-blooded, flag-waving, patriotic American. Amen. End of story. I still get a lump in my throat when I hear the Star Spangled Banner played. And I get a tear in my eye when I see patriotic veterans saluting the flag. We have some of them that work at the plant, folks. And when they hear the Star Spangled Banner, they stop and they put their hands on their chest and they stand at attention while it's being played. Now, why is that? Why do I feel that way? Well, I'm not sure, but I speculate it's because in spite of all of our nation's failures and all of our faults and all of our disappointments and all of the scandal and corruption and all the games of the Freemasons and the Luciferians and the Theosophists and the Illuminati, America is still the greatest nation on the face of this earth. And it's not because of anything you or me have done, but it's all by the grace of God. So what I'd like to do today is focus on what's required of you and me as a Christian citizen, because we are both citizen of this world and the world above. Now, there's some verses out of the first letter Peter wrote that we're going to build these points on, and I'm going to take the next probably 2 or 3 weeks to go through this. But what I'd like to do right now is read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 through 12. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts. Which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now that word visitation, that literally means on the day of observation. Okay? That's when they look at you, they look you over, they listen to what you're saying, and they may even grudgingly say, well, there's something different about that guy, and I'm not sure what it is. Now I want to continue reading verses 13 through 17. Peter says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, for unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Now, a reporter once asked someone on the street, do you know what the two biggest problems in the country are? And that person said, I don't know, and I really don't care. Well, you know what the reporter replied? Well, you have them both. And the point the reporter was trying to make is that truth is thwarted by both ignorance and apathy, problems we face in America right now. So my prayer to God today is that he'll open your mind and my mind and stir our hearts. So today I want to learn from God's word along with you how God will work in our hearts and move us from ignorance and apathy to what I'm going to call information and zeal. Now, I believe that when that happens, he'll instill in you a genuine God-given patriotism. And I believe that that patriotism is a gift from God. And I know a lot of Christians are going to argue with me and say, no, the United States isn't even mentioned in the Bible. And I know all that, folks. But all we're hearing today is how bad patriotism is. The fake news is actually demonizing patriots. Look at what they're doing to all the people that went peacefully to Washington, D.C. On January 6th. So in this spirit of the age, patriots are being marginalized. And this causes wars and all sorts of conflict as these Luciferians say tongue-in-cheek that we need an international brotherhood of man. Friends, I'm telling you, that's a lie straight from the pits of hell. The fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man is a lie, a Luciferian lie, part of the on-becoming doctrine that they preach and teach, that we are becoming like gods. It's a lie perpetrated from the Freemasons back before Darwin. The Theosophists push this. The Illuminati pushes this. I collectively call them the Luciferians. And they drive us in this world to the end times new world order. So this is a lie that's been perpetrated for a long time. And their game plan is to use pluralism, like I mentioned, how they destroyed Bosnia. And they're doing it right now in America. Now today, they're using things like racism and critical race theory and the antics of the BLM movement. And don't even get me started right now on the border crisis and the vaxxed and the unvaxxed, the stolen elections and MAGA versus the establishment. I'm telling you, folks, the last vestige of freedom in this entire world, the last obstacle standing between these Luciferians and their Great Reset and the New World Order, which they're organizing for their Luciferian Messiah, the Antichrist, is the United States of America. So over the next couple of weeks, I want to share a couple truths with you on how we can be good, upstanding Christian citizens. And the first one I want to talk about is the character that we must have as Christian citizens. And then I'm going to wrap this up. And again, I apologize for all the trouble I'm having here with Blog Talk Radio. So that's found in verses 11 and 12. Remember, verse 11 said, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul." So first of all, we're to live a righteous and godly life. And this is to be in our hearts. And our lives shouldn't be lived in a fleshly lust, as the Bible refers to it. As children of God, we ought to be pure and clean as the driven snow. And there are certain things that war against the soul and push our flesh to those areas. And that word war, it conveys this idea of a hand-to-hand combat. So this war that we're fighting has to be fought with strategy. And we have to recognize that there's a conspiracy going on out there. And it's a conspiracy that was spawned in hell, and it's being executed here and now by the collective known as the Luciferians. So today and through these next couple weeks, I'd like to share with you what the false prophet, also known as the fake news or the mainstream media, is doing to war against our souls. The souls of our family, the souls of our churches, and the very soul and heart of this nation. Now, this war has many unseen forces at play. It's not your neighbor. It's not that member of the Biden regime. It's the spirit of the age that's behind all of that. Now, there are these groups out there, like the RAND Corporation and Tavistock, that use the media to shape public opinion. So the popular music, movies, TV shows, nightly news, cable news networks, they are all being used by this Luciferian cabal to conform our minds to the world. Just do a web search, folks, and use something other than Google. Try DuckDuckGo or one of those and see if what I say isn't true. These Luciferians build upon the work of Edward Bernays, and you can see all of his teachings in his book titled Propaganda from 1928. In this book, Bernays argued that the scientific manipulation of opinion was necessary to overcome chaos and conflict in society. Remember the motto of the Luciferians, Ordo ab Chao, order out of chaos? I want to read a quote from his book, Bernays' book, called Propaganda. The conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an important element in democratic society. Those who manipulate this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of this country. We are governed, our minds are molded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested largely by men we have never heard of. This is a logical result of the way in which our democratic society is organized. Vast numbers of human beings must cooperate in this manner as they are to live together as a smoothly functioning society. In almost every act of our daily lives, whether in the sphere of politics or business, in our social conduct or our ethical thinking, we are dominated by the relatively small number of persons who understand the mental processes and social patterns of the masses. It is they who pull the wires which control the public mind. Did you hear that, folks? Now, almost all of our popular music is Luciferian. The movies are laced full of Luciferian doctrine. Everything you read from popular literature, Luciferian doctrine. Just spend some time on these two web pages I'm going to give you and see if what I say isn't so. The first one is called theater.goodfight.org, and the second one is jesusissavior.com, and you want to look under the tab Devil's Music. So I'm telling you, folks, there truly is a battle for our minds, and you need to be prepared for this battle. And to start, we must be perfectly, absolutely clean. But that's not something you or I can do. That's only when we're covered by the blood of the Lord. So we have to renounce and then abstain from everything that's wrong. And when we do that, we have to do something in place, or we have to replace it, or there's going to be a void. And what we do is we embrace everything that's right. In verse 12, Peter said, having your conversation, that means your behavior, honest among the Gentiles. And that literally means that as true believers, we're going to have to live a pure, godly, clean, righteous, honest, forthright life. That's just the way it is. And there's going to be those that hate you and me. But when they see us living this good life, they're going to grudgingly admit that there's something about us that's just different. Now, there's a word that's used there in that passage, and that's the word character. And I'd like to talk about that for just a minute. Now, our nation is a nation that exists because of the character of her people. And the founding fathers said that. They said, we're never going to be able to keep this nation unless the character of the people remains good and godly. So why is America the greatest nation on the earth? Well, not because we have bigger people than other nations. We don't. Not because our genes and our chromosomes and our DNA are better. It's not because of good old-fashioned Yankee ingenuity. It's none of that. It's not because of our natural resources or that the grass grows greener here and the cows get bigger and fatter. No, it's none of those things. Other nations have all those things. America is a great nation because of her character, and I'm going to show you that. We need to learn that responsibility, which is another way to say character, is linked together. So maybe they're not exactly synonymous, but they're related. And the sad truth is that when a nation loses its character and when a nation loses its ability to act responsibly, which we certainly have, then that nation by default loses its liberty. And I can give you an example, which I'm going to pick up on next week. And that's the example of a newborn baby. So we're going to stop it right here. And I'm going to encourage you folks, as you go out this week, to never give up. And right now I'd be playing Winston Churchill saying, never give up, never give up, but never give up, folks. Know the truth and live it. You have been blessed. You are saved by the blood of the Lamb if you've trusted that Jesus is who he says he is and you believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. You know the scriptures. Go out there and live it. Know that that same power that rose Jesus from the grave, that same power lives in you and me. Amen. Folks, I love y'all, and I'm going to be shooting off some more emails to Blog Talk and tell them about all their trouble, and provided the Lord's willing, I'll be back here next week. So, folks, I love y'all, and that's all I have for this week.